Welcome to the Liberty and Ryan podcast.
With Liberty and Ryan Bernal.
Hello, everyone. This is Liberty Bernal, and welcome to the Liberty and Ryan podcast. Ryan is with me as well.
Hello.
And we are so excited today to share some more from our perspective, right, Ryan, about relationships. And we have so many different topics that we focus on, but primarily we talk about post-divorce recovery. And that can include talking about what to do within a relationship or within a marriage or to prepare for a relationship. And a lot of it is because we've learned a lot of lessons along the way.
That's right. Yeah. We've talked so much about in our last few podcasts about like marriage after divorce or relationships after divorce and what really needs to happen in order to make those changes to make your next relationship successful. And today we're going to focus on that even in a little more detail.
Yeah. And my big takeaway, Ryan, from our last podcast episode was you had mentioned taking responsibility. And I mean, that's huge in any aspect of life, but it's really hard to do, I think, especially in a relationship, especially in retrospect or in hindsight. It's very easy to blame others.
Yeah, I think that, yes, it's easy to blame others. I think that we as a society, group of people, we have a tendency to not want to take responsibility. And so we just put any problem or any situation that we don't like onto someone or something else.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I see it every day. I know I do it. I mean, I'm sure you're going to say, Liberty, you never blame other people for anything. Right, honey?
That's right, honey.
I know. No, that's absolutely false. But I think that, well, we have a lot to share, at least for the first half of our podcast. Our goal is to talk about taking responsibility for the first half, about 10 minutes or so. And then our second half, we're going to talk about Love is Blind and the Netflix show that we've just finished watching. So we'll start with responsibility, though. I'll kick it off a little bit more. So we talk a lot about, you know, divorce and recovering from it and learning from it and moving on in a healthy way. And I would say 9 times out of 10 in discussions with people about divorce, their first go-to is what the other person did to cause problems, to cause hurt, to cause the divorce. So let's start there, Ryan, because I know this was really your topic in terms of taking responsibility. So go for it. You know, what did you want to make sure to share? What is your nugget to share with everyone that they can take away from this podcast?
Well, I've noticed a trend in our podcasting where I always say, well, let's back up a little bit and start at the beginning. And so I'm going to do that again here. Let's back up a little bit and start at the beginning and not go all the way back to the beginning of evolution or creation, whichever theory you tend to hold to, but you can just go back somewhere in the middle there and think about cognition and the epidemic that was created by cognition. So animals, let's use a dog, for example, our dog Snappy, she does not necessarily have the ability to blame someone else because she doesn't have the words to say it. She can't point with a finger and look at someone. The best she could do is look at another dog or person or object and try to get us to interpret that she thinks that other object, person, or animals responsible for a behavior or bad decision that she made, Snappy, the dog made. But she has no way of telling us that. As we evolve into language and the cognition of being able to say, we can transfer our blame to someone else, that transference of blame became more easy with our language skills. And so we were able to start saying, it's Liberty's fault, or it's Johnny's fault. It's anyone's fault but my fault. And then we could make a case for why it was someone else's fault.
Well, and I think that's liberty. Our go-to. Yeah, it makes sense. I also think that when we're talking about, you know, just human nature in general, it's more comfortable to blame someone else. We just seek comfort. That's the bottom line. Why do we eat junk food when we know it can cause all these problems inside our body? Because that immediate comfort far outweighs that far away possibility that what we're doing is going to cause harm. Why do we smoke cigarettes? Because right now that feels good. It's comfortable. It makes me feel better. And that's what not taking responsibility does too, especially if you're talking about someone who's nowhere near you at the moment. It's very easy for me to blame someone who isn't with me right now to make me look better. So for all those reasons, that's why taking responsibility can be so difficult. Self-reflection is very uncomfortable.
I like what you said, comfort. So basically, yeah, the cognition that we can say somebody else did it, and the having the language skills and all the tools necessary to point the finger literally and figuratively at someone else, and then doing it because it makes us feel more comfortable. That's great. So when we talk about responsibility, I think that we were just talking about this before the podcast, that I really believe that we've created an epidemic in our society. I don't know if it's a global epidemic, but maybe it's just in the San Diego epidemic or Southern California epidemic. But I would probably say it's an epidemic in the U.S. at the very least, where we don't push responsibility in our young ones. And as they grow up, they learn that taking responsibility is not something they have to do. Even throughout our legal system or our educations, like, we're not pushing responsibility and consequences for not taking responsibility, or consequences for bad decisions, I should say. So when we talk about it in a relationship, going back to what you said, saying that, most people we speak to say, the other person did this, this, and this, or it's all their fault. I mean, the lack of responsibility there is always shocking to us, because the responsibility taking for the person blaming would be, well, when that person did X, Y, and Z, I did not say, hey, you know, that really hurts my feelings, or that we should go seek therapy. And to me, that's like where we're lacking with the responsibility conversation. Everyone is blaming.
Right. Well, and that's where, you know, sometimes when you think about it, perhaps there would be less separation, less divorce, if both people in the relationship could accept that responsibility. I almost feel like now, just listening to you, part of going to therapy is the acceptance of responsibility. And then that therapist helps you move through, you know, the situations you're in, and put some of that responsibility on you, instead of I blame. That therapist is likely to say, well, hold on, you know, here's what you're doing and how it's affecting your partner. But, you know, perhaps even if one person's clearly wrong in a situation, is it then time for their spouse to give up and walk away just because the other person's wrong? Or do they take responsibility to work on it and try harder? And, you know, even if, like, Ryan, if you were doing something wrong, I do believe it's my responsibility to help both of us together. Because you're doing something wrong, you are my person. You're my first person. I need to work on it with you, not just turn around and go, it's his problem and I'm not taking any responsibility. That does not make sense. So, where do we go from here? Like, what, I mean, I think, Ryan, if it's okay, I would love to hear your perspective on taking responsibility from your own experiences, because of us both having been married twice before, and we have learned, absolutely, you could say, the hard way of what it's like to take responsibility, whether we did it in the moment or later, to accept what we did wrong and our mistakes and how to learn from them and move forward in a better way. How could you help someone listening by saying, here's how I took responsibility? What happened?
Well, that's a big question, Liberty.
So, but that's why we're even on this topic, because I think we have reflected, like, wow, our life changed for the better when we took responsibility for our crap.
Yeah. So, okay, to recap, we've said that, you know, you can take responsibility in any part of the relationship when your partner is doing something you don't like. So to me and to you, that's not an excuse to say, oh, well, I didn't like what Susie did. And Susie was, you know, doing all these bad things. But there's the lack of responsibility is when you did not communicate that to Susie. So just recapping. And then the second form of responsibility is not being able, or a lack of responsibility is when you don't recognize in yourself your own mistakes. And I would say the third one that I want to touch on, then I'll answer your question, is that when a situation goes awry, stopping and reflecting, and this is where I had to learn a lot about what you could have done differently to prevent or change that situation, even change it in the moment. And a good example of that I'll go into real quick is something as simple as we have spin bikes and we spin in our little homemade gym and we have to move the bikes like all spin bikes move. And there is one area in our spinning area that if my bike gets put under it and I try to do my upward movements with my arms, then I will hit the roof and it doesn't work. So sometimes when Liberty moves the bikes out, she'll put the bike in that area, not even thinking about it. Now, in my mind, I have two options. Liberty is so inconsiderate. This is all her fault. In the middle of my workout, I could be thinking
I'm
that.
I'm actually shocked you have not said this to me before.
But what I have stopped to think about when I find myself in the middle of my workout, realizing that, oh my gosh, I'm under this spot again and I can't do my upward vertical movement.
Is it under the garage door opener?
It's under, yes. And then I start to think to myself, what could I have done to prevent this situation? And it's so simple. What I could have done is as I walked up to the bicycle, I could have noticed it's under this situation and I'm not going to be able to do my vertical movement and move the bike. Some people would say, well, it's so-and-so's fault they put the bike here and take zero responsibility. So that's the third one, is identifying all your situations that you're going into and saying, well, what could I have done differently in that situation to prevent the outcome that I'm in?
That is a great example of taking responsibility. And I'd like to go a step further in a future episode to talk about, and this is something we say, I don't even know how many times per week, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Because I think, Ryan, you could have said, hey, babe, did you notice that when the bike is right here, I can't use my weights? You know, but you could have said it in a really like snotty way, and it could have even caused a little tiff, you know, or you could say, now I feel bad that you, you didn't even say anything. But, you know, those are all, I mean, you can see couples go down that path of something that is innocent or not meant to be done, then they both don't take responsibility. Then it turns into something bigger and bigger and bigger, stemming from something as simple as that. You could chalk that up to Liberty is the most, you know, thoughtless person ever. She didn't even think about what I need to do on my bike. And I mean, man, you know, that's such a great example.
Right.
So
let me jump back over to why is this so important to me? And it's because I actually had to learn how to take responsibility myself. I mean, it is not something that just came naturally to me. Even thinking about all of the different things that we're talking about right now, I had to learn to change my way of thinking, to change my behaviors, to stop putting blame. I mean, as something as from blaming my parents to blaming my spouse to blaming the weather, you know, it was time to just learn to take responsibility and to really become in charge and in, I would say the word empowered, to prevent the situations from happening that I didn't want to happen. And so, yeah, how did I do that? I mean, just therapy, learning. I think that the biggest thing was therapy and just learning to identify that you can't just walk around life saying, oh, well, this isn't my fault. This isn't my fault. And just saying, what can I do differently? What can I do better?
Yeah. And I love that you use the word empowering in taking charge, because having an attitude of blame, it really is making yourself powerless. It's saying that you don't have the ability to, you know, kind of control your own feelings. Or, you know, when people say, well, you made me feel this way, you know, I've now learned that no one else makes you feel any way. You are in charge of how you feel, no matter what is said to you. I mean, your feelings can be hurt, certainly. you know, what you say to me, Ryan, matters. What our daughter says to me matters. What other people say matters. But I can't let that ruin my day. And, you know, if you get those negative feelings, be in it for a minute and then move on. And that's all part of the responsibility as well. It's a huge topic. I mean, this theme will carry through so many of our conversations in the future and our conversations with future guests talking about it. But it's such a big one just to stop and reflect, like, how can I take more responsibility for my behavior, for my actions, for my words and thoughts?
Right. And emotional intelligence, which is what you're referring to, is every individual person's responsibility. So yes, it's okay to have an emotional response. Your feelings are hurt. You're sad, whatever it may be, but how you deal with those emotions and how appropriate your response is to a situation, that's what is known as emotional intelligence.
Yep.
And that's important to know as well.
Definitely. And, you know, I think when we were talking about this topic before we started recording, we talked about how, you know, maybe divorces could be avoided if more people take responsibility in the moment. You know, not to say that, you know, you can prevent any divorce, because some people just aren't meant to be together. And unfortunately, they learn that after marriage. But if responsibility is taken within a marriage, within a relationship, it's night and day different. And, you know, it might happen in reflection after an argument or after something happens, but I think it's just huge. And for someone to learn in post-divorce recovery what they could take responsibility for in the past and not beat themselves up or have a ton of regret, but learn from it and move forward in a better way.
Yes. And I think that what you just said is a good segue into the second part of what we want to talk about today, which is blind love.
Love is blind.
Love is Blind on Netflix.
We keep mixing up the title, but hopefully for anyone listening to this by now, and who knows when you'll listen, it could be a year from now, but Love is Blind is a new Netflix series and a very short one. It just took 3 weeks, right? We started watching it at the beginning and the finale just happened. So we should say spoiler alert too, right, Ryan? If anyone's watching it and they've not gotten to the end, we're going to spoil it. So we're going to use it as an example.
But so what the segue was is you said maybe divorces could be prevented if people take responsibility. And I think that's absolutely true. It doesn't mean that they can be, you know, it doesn't mean that people shouldn't get married and they shouldn't get divorced, but you could prevent divorce by not marrying the wrong person, which I think you and I both have experience. I know you and I both have experience in that 2 times prior.
Yes. Yes.
And not, you know, not making the best decision. That's what we want to talk about. Love is Blind. So the premise is that you meet somebody without ever seeing them, and it did seem like the people created a very deep emotional connection, but they were.
Yeah. They met through walls, right?
They connected
with people and only had the opportunity to speak through a wall, never seeing each other.
Right. And that I could see how that could build a very deep connection with somebody.
Yes. Yes.
But then they went in to see each other in person. They go on to start to almost date, speed date.
Hold on a second. Don't forget, though, that they proposed before they ever saw each other.
Oh, that's right. They got engaged. And so
after days. Yes. Based on purely an emotional relationship through a wall.
But there were two scenarios that stood out to us during the season finale. Again, spoiler alert. And one of them was one of the women named Kelly saying on the day of her wedding, I'm just not as infatuated with her man to be, her husband to be, as she was in the past with her boyfriend. So to us, it's like, well, red flag, responsibility, take responsibility, own those feelings, and don't get married to that person.
And I think too, and which was her decision, was she went to the altar, and the whole thing was like, you didn't know what both people or either a person was going to do until they were standing there to say yes or no.
That was part of the show. Yeah.
Full on, like, wedding dress, tuxes, everything. And Kelly did choose to say no, because she knew in her heart of hearts that she didn't feel that same infatuation. However, I think she should have said something to him and not let him on sooner than that, too. Like, it doesn't just have to take getting to the altar to realize I'm not in a place physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever it is with this person to marry them. But even in a relationship, it's kind of like, you know, if she's not feeling it, she should have said something sooner because he was ready to marry her. It was so sad.
Yeah. Well, I think we agree that she did the right thing by not getting married.
Yes.
But we're using it as an example of some people don't ever get beyond telling their closest people, like their friend or their mom or their sister, or their brother, their dad. They tell them about their reservations, but they do not actually tell their spouse.
Well, they feel they feel maybe trapped, or they feel like, oh no, I've gone too far, or I'm this far, or maybe this is as good as it's going to get. And this, you know, even if it's this feeling that, you know, deep down, you know, this isn't right. There, some people hit a point where it's like, well, I'm just going to do it. And they feel a pressure or a responsibility or whatever it is. So, but there's no reason for that. I think that's why so many marriages end in divorce. Is there is something deep down in someone where they knew. I've had this conversation with so many people. They knew it wasn't right, but they did it anyway. And there literally is no reason for that, right? There's no reason to move forward with a marriage when you know deep down it's not going to end well.
Yeah, you could take that responsibility early.
Yes.
And then if you didn't do that, if you didn't take that responsibility early, then you can always, which is what we focus on post-divorce, take that responsibility after the fact.
Yeah, you gotta learn the hard way. But
empower yourself to accept, and I say empower yourself because it is empowering to accept that you made a mistake and to let that mistake go, to live with the consequences and the outcome and move forward. If you
And it's okay.
It won't seem like
the end of the world.
I mean, would you agree that the people who tell us it's not their fault and they're divorced or going through a divorce? No, let's talk about the people who are divorced but are still saying it's not their fault that they got divorced. Would you agree that those people are the ones who that we notice are the most stuck or paralyzed in their life?
Yes.
Like they don't
definitely
move forward.
Definitely.
You know, they're either still single or they're having failed relationship after failed relationship, or quite frankly, they're just miserable.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I do. I agree with that. I think once someone can take responsibility, there's some negative emotions that come with it. It doesn't feel good when you're like, oh my gosh, it kind of hits you. Like, this is what I did. But it also is relieving. It's very relieving. And it's almost like you just come to terms with it in a way. And it's, I don't know, maybe it's almost like death, like someone close to you dies and you finally accept it and you start moving forward, because a divorce is the death of a relationship, you know, and at some point the acceptance includes taking responsibility, and, you know, forgiveness even includes taking responsibility, forgiving yourself, forgiving the other person or anything, you know, that happened. So, wow, there's so much more to this, Ryan, but
I know
we don't want to make our episodes too super long. But I think this is a great start into these big topics around what we talk about most, which is relationships.
Yes. So we'll keep visiting back on responsibility. I do feel like we just created just a nice outline of all the different parts of responsibility. And I'm sure we even missed some, but, you know, we talked about the cognition of responsibility, the comfort factor of being taking responsibility, emotional intelligence, the different types of blame, how you can prevent blame, how you can be responsible for yourself while still depending on your partner. We lightly touched on that, but that's a whole nother topic, because we're not saying you don't want to be able to count on your partner. So many things. But I think it's a great start. And I know that we have a lot more to go into about the Love is Blind and some of the scenes or monologues that were captured on film there, and just to share those and kind of dissect them.
Oh my gosh,
them.
Yes. We should do that for our next episode. I think that's check. Next episode, we're going to talk about Love is Blind.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Well, anyone listening, thank you so much for being here with us. And any comments or feedback, if you're listening on the Anchor app, you can send us a message. It's really easy. It just says message. So feel free to do that. Ask questions. We're here. You can also find us online in many places, but if you're pretty much search Liberty and Ryan, you're going to come across us. So Ryan, any last words for today's episode?
I'd like to share our email, which is hello@libertyandryan.com. And also a great book about taking responsibility is The Voice of Knowledge. So if you are looking for a resource, there you go.
Great recommendation. All right. Well, that's all for today. This is Liberty and Ryan, and we will catch you next time. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for listening.
Find us online at libertyandryan.com.
And on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @libertyandryan.